And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Now, I want you to understand, he says, I have bought me these 5 yoke of oxen, 10 oxen. I have bought them, and I'll tell you what, I have got to go prove them. I believe they'll pull my cart so smooth. They'll pull my cart so nice. I believe they'll plow my garden, my rows so straight. I believe that it will be the smooth ride. I believe they are nice. What he's saying is, I got me a new toy, and I got to go check my new toy out. I got me a new car. I got to go take a drive. I got to go on a trip. I got me a new television. I can't come to church tonight. I got me a big screen and the Super Bowl's on. I got me a new boat. And I'm sorry, I would love to come, but I really got to go fishing. I got me a new toy. Anything wrong with toys? No, man, I agree with that. Yes, no. I mean, no, there's nothing wrong with toys. I am the toy king. They call me the gadget daddy. I love my gadgets. I do. I got gadgets. I love toys. I got expensive toys. Dr. Grimm has got the best toys anybody I know. I love toys. But the problem is not the toys. And the problem is not having fun. What is the problem? The priority. Put it into perspective. You got children. Do you like to get your children toys? Use Nintendo. Do you like to get your child Nintendo? Most of us do because it keeps them quiet, keeps them out of... They're fascinated. They're on this television. They sit there and they're quiet. They're not getting any trouble. And they're not giving you any trouble. And so they're sitting there and they're watching. But now when it comes time to do homework, what happens? What is priority? We cut the television off. We cut the Nintendo off. We go to the kitchen table or to the bedroom or wherever. Am I right? Father's that way with us. He loves for us to have toys. He really does. But the priorities has to be first the kingdom of God. Am I right? Do you realize there's a lot of people that are going to go to hell because of toys? Maybe they'll get to play with them there. I don't want to make light of this. I really don't. I want us to understand, and I don't want you to get mad at me, because this next one, some of you might get mad at me. I don't want you to get mad at me. I didn't tell this story. I didn't give these examples. I got a new car, must go drive it. I got a new house, must go paint it or decorate it. I got new clothes, I got to go wear them. I got new albums, want to play them, new TV. I got a new boat, I got a new hobby, I got a new sport. I got to go do these things because you see, they are more important to me than your party. And so they're scheduling themselves, they're excusing themselves from the party. Verse 20. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot. Now notice, he didn't say, please excuse me. I ain't coming. Now, here's what he's saying. You know, hey, I got this little wife, and we just got married. Plans, heavy, hot plans, and you just aren't in them in your party. Now, outwardly, that sounds right. But they're missing the party, folks. Outwardly, that sounds good. But they're missing the party. Now, again, don't get mad at me. Okay, I am trying to preach you the truth. This week at my care group, it's the young adults, Wednesday night, I had them go through the scriptures and look up which was first in importance to God, to Jesus Christ. I asked them, I said, you go by the scriptures and you look up and you tell me, what is the most important, the natural family or the spiritual family? And you tell me what the scriptures say. Now, Jonathan, what does the scripture say? The which one? He's saying the spirit. You are saying that. I can't hear you. You are saying the spiritual family. The spiritual family is superior to the natural family. Who said that? Jesus said that. Where did he say that at? Well, one day he was he was sitting there and he was teaching, and his mama and his brothers and sisters come to see him, and they tried to get in, and they come and told Jesus. They said, Jesus, your family's here. And he looks around and he says, these that do the will of my Father, these are my mother and my brothers. When you compare, there's one, and there's the other. You tell me which one did he say was first. Now, scriptures here, and let me do this too. Adam and Eve. See, marriage is one of the most confused and messed up thoughts right now in the church. Adam and Eve. Jesus always went back to the beginning. In the beginning, Jesus says this is how it was. And so you have to go back to see how it was. In the beginning, there was Adam, and he was alone. And God said, hey, you know, it's really not good that you're... Adam, go name the animals. Now, I mean, think, that isn't that what he says? It's not good, Adam's alone. Adam, go name the animals. Now, that just doesn't compute if you... you're alone, go name the animals. So Adam goes out, and he starts naming the animals, and he sees that Mr. Gorilla has got Mrs. Gorilla. And Mr. Hippopotamus has got Mrs. Hippopotamus. And Mrs. Zebra has got Mr. Zebra. And he begins to see, and all of a sudden it comes to him, but there was no helpmate found for Adam. So God now has Adam where he wants him, because Adam sees that he's lonely and there's really nobody for him. Now, what did Adam do? Did he go out and find him a bride? Did Eve go and find Adam? Or was God involved in that? Talk to me. God wants to be involved in our marriages. And what he did is he took a part of Adam, brought Eve to Adam. God did this. Adam didn't go find Eve. Eve didn't go find Adam. God brought them together. He was involved in their relationship, and he put them together. You see, God's idea of marriage is not just two people becoming one. That is the part of it. But what it really wants to do is get three becoming one. He wants God in us. You understand what I'm saying? He says, marry in the Lord. What does that mean? Make sure the person that you marry is in the Lord, because I want to be involved in your marriage. You with me? Now, this guy here that we're reading about, number three, which way is he leading his wife? Is he a biblical man that leads his wife to the party, or is he a worldly man that leads his wife away from the party? Which one? Let me tell you something, ladies. You that are looking for a husband, marry in the Lord. Marry somebody that will take you to the party. Let me tell you something, guys. Jesus doesn't want you to come to the party by yourself. He wants you to bring your date with you. Marry somebody that will go with you to the party. Are you hearing me? This guy is not a biblical guy. This guy is taking his family away from the party. Blessed are they that come to the party. Are you mad at me? Is it the Word of God? Now, I want you to understand this principle. Folks, it becomes very, very important that these are excuses, and the major three excuses that I have found over my years of ministry that keep people out of the things of God is, number one, they're too busy. They got to work. They got to be successful. They got to make money. Number two, they got to go play with their toys. They got to go to the lake. They got to go hunting. They got to go fishing. They got to go do something. They got to, whatever it is that they want to do, they got to go do it. And number three, family. You know I'm telling you the truth. So they gave them their excuses. And we have this thinking, well, right now, I'm going to be successful because I'm young. I'm going to play with my toys because I'm young. And I'm going to spend time with my wife because I'm young. But when I get old, then I'll serve God. I'll tell you what Ecclesiastes 12 talks about. It says, serve God in your youth. And then he goes on in the rest of the chapter, and he talks about things like this. Listen, when your mind is feeble and you become senile... don't try to serve God then. When your body is filled with rheumatism and bursitis and your legs are like noodles, don't try to run the race and fight the fight then. Now that's what the Bible says. Serve God in your youth. Biblically, here's what he says. Serve God in your youth and then go out and party. God wants us at our best. Now, they give their excuses. Verse 21, so the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house said, that's okay. That is fine. We'll change the date of the party so that these charismatics can find the time where it fits their schedules so that they can all come and everybody will be happy. We'll fix it, says the master. Well, it's okay. I'm a loving God. Is that what your Bible says? You're looking at me. Don't look at me. Look at your Bible. You see, that's what you've been preached. Talk to me. You have been preached this. All I got to do is take a preacher's hand, sign a membership card, pray a prayer, and I'm saved. God is a God of love. God is also a God of a consuming fire. And this God got angry. And the master of the house, look, always bring your Bible to this church. If you forget it, say, oh, I forgot my Bible. Go home and get it. Don't look at me. You don't need to know what I say. You don't need to know what anybody... What you need to know is what the Word of God says. This is why people become deceived. He got angry and said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets, into the lanes, and the cities, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done. I've done it. And thou hast commanded me to do it. I've done it. And yet there's still room. And the Lord said unto his servant, go now out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house can be filled. We've misquoted this a little bit. We've used this particular scripture out of context. See what he's really saying here? If you're going to give me excuses not to come to my party, I'm going to replace you. That's the way it reads to me. And those that I have bidden, the next verse I'm going to read it in just a second, those that I have bidden, they'll never eat it. If your excuses and your priorities are as such as that it's more important than making my party, I'll replace you. I'll go out into the highways and the hedges. I'll find somebody to come so that my house can be filled. He's going to have a filled house. He wants us to come. How many's got the invitation? Have you got an invitation? Some of you haven't got an invitation yet. You need to meet me up here and let's get an invitation. I've got one for you. Yeah, I'll shake your hand and get your membership card and all. No, we'll make sure that you understand. Hear me now. If we're not serious with God, He is not serious with us. Hear me again say, He will not be put on the back burner for nobody. He has got to be first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then things happen. Toys come, business and prosperity and marital situations. You'll find time. All these things, but seek ye first. Luke 24, for I say unto you that none of these men, how many? Which were bidden shall taste of my supper. That's a bummer. That's bad news, isn't it? If I don't go to his party, he'll replace me. Now that's not what we have been preached, people. Here's the conclusion. I want you to know that this party cost the master, cost God. He has paid a tremendous price preparing for us this party. The price that he paid was the life of his son, Jesus Christ. And he does not want to hear our excuses. Number two, we can be bidden, called to the party. Receive an invitation, but never taste the supper. I want you to know it's an eternal crime. It's an eternal crime not to put his party in priority. Nothing else really matters, folks. So the question that I'm asking you today, what's our excuse? What's your excuse? What's my excuse? What is priority? What is superior in my life? Is it business, toys and fun? Is it husband or wife? Are these things taking me to the party? Taking me to hell. Sobering, sobering. This is where I'm at right now. There are eternal factors that God is dealing with me with. And Father, accept your spills to us, and nothing has been accomplished. We have once again come on a Sunday and sat through a message, and clapped our hands, and danced, shouted, and gleed. But nothing has changed. Help us, Lord. Let us get our priorities in order. Let us understand the marriage has to do with the bride. Your eternal purposes are around your body, around your bride, making herself ready. Let us understand that that is superior in your thoughts. Minister that to our spirit. Let it be more than words coming out of a preacher's mouth. Let it be more than logos written. Let this become rhema so that faith can come, so that our lives can change. We can hear you, and that we can hear what the Spirit is to us, me, the church. You are not second place to anything. Minister that to our hearts. I'm done. I have suffered with some of these myself. There's been times when I wanted to go play. That's probably mine. Rather than doing what I need. There have been times when I felt like I needed to work and make money to pay bills. There's been times, just hear me in closing. Every person, if I was to have some kind of show of hands, as any of these, every person here would have to raise their hand. But if it is dealing with you definitely and hard, please hear the Spirit of God. When the breath leaves your body, you will not be in the presence. Hear me. I have been looking at this for weeks. There is much more to this thing than we have been preached and been preached. Hear me. Where we spend eternity depends upon us fulfilling Him. Can you hear me? Now, before we go, do you love me? Did I preach you the truth? Don't be mad at me, right? I didn't make this story up. This is not my story, and these aren't my examples. These are Jesus.